Welcome to More with Mo. I'm Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by JulieLandRadio.com. Today we are recording from a boarded up farmhouse somewhere in Middle America. Today's topic is zombies. What is the current fascination with zombies? Why do we love them? Why do we watch them? My guest today is Brian. Brian, why don't you say hello and introduce yourself?
Hello, everybody. I'm Brian Dooley, owner, president, and sculptor of Shrunken Head Studios. We're a special effects and horror toy company. And Mo invited me to come along and talk about one of my favorite subjects here, which is the undead.
So we met a few months ago.
Yes.
We have a mutual friend. And I came over and I walked into your place.
Yeah.
And you have an apartment.
Yep.
And walked into this room, which should be a bedroom, and it wasn't. Normal apartment complex, it's a workshop. You have a full working workshop, like you would go into somebody's garage in your bedroom.
Yeah.
And there was a zombie head.
Yep, yep.
And through the mutual friend, I'd kept hearing these things of punching hair. Mm-hmm. I had no clue what she was talking about. I love the girl. I had no idea what she was talking about, but it seemed cool. So when I came over, I had no idea what I was going to see.
Right.
But here was this real-life, amazing-looking zombie.
Thank you.
What's that all about? What are you actually doing with, say, that specific piece?
Okay, that's a limited edition art piece. It's a life-size, one-to-one scale zombie bust. It is inspired by the old EC horror comics style. Jack Davis and Bernie Wrightson, Bill Stout, all those guys. They have a really specific style character. So I wanted to do like a mixed medium sculpture of silicone and resin and real hair and, you know, give somebody like a really nice high quality special effect like prop that they could display proudly in their collection. There's a lot of them out there, but yeah. So I taught a friend of mine, Mika, to punch hair. And punching hair is where you take the eye of a needle and you cut it off so you have like a little like U hook, and you take individual hair fibers and you punch them into the silicone and the way hair would grow out. And then you cut it and style it. And she did the beard stubble and eyelashes and nose hair. And I mean, he's all scruffy and scrubby looking. He looks great.
Now, I had the pleasure of shooting him.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun. The detail work in this is amazing, and I couldn't imagine sitting there. I don't have the patience to sit there and punch that much hair. Who are the kind of people that want to buy something like this?
He's a little on the expensive side. There's only 13 made, so he's running for about $1,250. It takes about 4 to 6 weeks to make him, because I gotta cast him, I gotta paint him, I gotta clean him up. I get them. Everything's by hand, so I am the assembly line, you know, it's guys that collect that are guys that, you know, were fans as kids, and now, you know, they got good jobs and they got money to blow on something like that, and they're like, I want something really neat in my house.
Basically, big kids.
Yeah, big the guys that didn't grow up that were horror fans since birth.
Yeah, and. From what I mean, I love that stuff. If I had the money, I'd probably have it.
Well, and I have to say, I mean, $1,200, it's a lot of money. Listen,
I
work in porn. I don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But what I look at it as is, you're saying 4 to 6 weeks, and I've seen the amount of detail. We're talking below minimum wage when you're going through and actually the amount of time that you put in this to create it. You're not, on an hourly basis, you're not making.
Yeah, I'm not throwing in my hourly wages for that.
And coming
That's
from.
Material.
Exactly. And coming from the photo world, photos, one click of the shutter and one quick print, depending on who you are, can cost tens of thousands of dollars, and it's click, print out, and you're done. So I look at that and go, it should be 10 times as much. So going back to zombies, everybody's into them. Zombies have been around for a long time.
Long time.
It seems that there's a current new popularity. It was the vampires. Now we're with movies like World War Z, and then you know, even 28 days later, 28 weeks later, who knows, 28 months later coming up,
which I think is a possibility.
Exactly. I mean, and
28 years later.
Exactly. They can keep going with this. Listen, nobody thought Saw was going to go seven or eight volumes.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead is arguably one of the most popular television shows out there right now. What is it? What do we love about zombies? Why is it?
I think zombies fascinate us because it's us. And I mean, there's something creepy about, you know, everyone is fascinated with death. So what's scarier than having death come back to get you? It's, you know, death is scary. Nobody wants to die. So to now have it come back at you, and now you're fighting something that's not going to die. No matter what you do to it, it's not going to die. You could chop it up in a million pieces, it's still going to come after you. That's horrifying. So, and to know that it's your neighbor Bob, you know? It's
or your
ex-girlfriend down the street, or your wife, or your kid is now coming at you and he wants to eat you. That is scary.
Now, so I'm gonna call you the zombie expert in the room here.
Okay.
So knowing, I mean, in the room, I would say arguably he is the expert.
He's got a degree.
He does. He has a degree. Harvard. yeah. Harvard.com. So my question then is basic zombie rules are, now there's the guide to survive, there's all this kind of stuff, is basically they bite you, you're in trouble.
If you're bitten or scratched and you survive the attack, you become one.
Okay.
Because it's a blood infection, correct?
Apparently it's an infection is what happens.
And it seems to be that any sort of shot or blunt force trauma, squishing of the head kills the zombie.
Yeah, and in George Romero's interpretation, his genre that he created in the late 60s with Night of Living Dead. They're slow, sluggish, moving on just primal instinct zombies, and they've come back from the dead and they want to consume human flesh. So, I mean, in the 60s with Vietnam and everything going on, and it was like an awesome, mind-blowing, horrifying movie.
That was like the first, right? Pretty much?
No, I mean, zombie movies date back to like the 30s.
Okay.
I mean, because you got Bela Lugosi's White Zombie, and you got Bela Lugosi's White Zombie, and I mean, there's like a whole string from the 20s, 30s up till now. Okay. If you Google them, there's all these old black and whites. They're a lot of fun.
Because that's the one I think of first, though, is the Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead is the one that stood out because I think it was such a punch in the face to society of just like, this is terrifying. That was a great thing. The late 60s into the early 70s, you had all these great grindhouse horror films that were just no rules, right? You know, and I mean,
does Texas Chainsaw Massacre fit into that?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, totally. I mean, that just came out of left field.
Yeah.
And if you watch it today, it is still just an awesome, disturbing horror movie. And it's so, and I think what makes it that way is it's so raw. It's, you know, it almost feels like a point of view documentary style film, you know, and you're just like, holy shit, you know, and it's awesome. But yeah, with zombies, I mean, what were you, what
well, I was more in general. I mean, obviously, people keep hearing zombies all the time.
Well, you wanted the rules, right?
Yeah, the rules of if I'm going to go out there and I see a zombie, how am I going
to
survive this?
Okay, if you're in a George Romero world, you have to shoot it in the head or remove the head. You have to destroy the brain is the main thing. Now, with that said, you know, other great directors and writers have put their own fun spins on this. Some of them have worked, some of them have not. Return of the Living Dead, that came out in the early 80s, I believe like 82, 83, was directed by Dan O'Bannon. And he wrote Alien, Ridley Scott's Alien. He was offered to do Return of the Living Dead by John Russo, who was, I think, producer of Night of the Living Dead. And he put out like a series of books. One of them was Return of the Living Dead. But it was too close to George Romero's interpretation. So he figured, I got to put my own spin on the rules and the whole thing here, so I'm not stepping on his toes any more than I have to. So what he did was, now with Romero's zombies, you have to shoot him in the head. You have to destroy the brain. He said, well, why don't we make our zombies, instead of them wanting to eat flesh, they only want to eat your brains. So therefore, more brains came out, which has caught on just as big a wildfire now.
Sure.
Because these zombies talk. They run after you, more brains.
Now, I texted you last night asking, because I was curious about what your favorite zombie movie was.
Yeah, and it was that.
And so I've never seen the movie.
Really?
And I went through and I scrambled and I tried Netflix and Amazon Prime and everywhere I could come up with to try and I couldn't do it. So I went ahead and watched the trailer on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's a 2-minute trailer.
Yeah.
I was expecting horror. I was expecting Night of the Living Dead.
No.
And it was...
It's funny.
It's funny. Yeah. It was very funny. And it's a campy... I mean, it's really funny. And so I want to go out and actually watch it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Because I expected from what I'd seen of you, I expected it to be Night of the Living Dead, mm-hmm. which is actually one of my favorite horror movies.
Yeah.
It was because when I was young, that was one of the first ones I ever saw. And it was the only zombie movie that I can think of that I ever saw at that age. I was literally so afraid. I was very young. I was so afraid to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And that whole idea, they're coming to get you, Barbara, that whole thing stuck with me for so long. And that idea. So that was always my idea of zombie. Now we come into this point of time with, say, World War Z, where it's, you know, a pack of dogs.
I didn't see that. How was it?
You know,
It got good reviews.
It was a fun summer horror movie. You had to go into it with nothing else on your agenda other than you were going to enjoy a good popcorn summer monster movie.
Yeah.
And for that, I liked it. I never read the book.
Yeah.
And of course, you got so many purists out there with, you know, well, it wasn't like the book. Well, sometimes you can't pull it off that way.
I just hate when people say that about anything.
Sometimes, yeah, it's like you can't pull it off what is on paper, on film. You just can't do it.
It's like a movie, a book, a TV show. It's all different. It's different mediums. It's like a record's different than the live performance. A live performance is different. Like, it's all different, and people lighten up.
World War Z, they totally went for it. It is a virus. It's an infection. Yeah. And
I love Brad Pitt, though. He can do
it. You know, he pulled it off really good. I wasn't sure about it, but he was likable in that. I mean, that's the whole thing. Is like, if you become a character that you actually care about, then it's a good movie. Right. It's fun. And they went for the total virus right out the gate. People were infected, and they were like, just... They weren't... The thing with these zombies, they weren't eating anybody. They were just biting you until you became infected like them, and then they moved on.
Right.
So... If you were already sick or had a you were pretty much had a death sentence of cancer or something like that, they could sense that on you and they left you alone. They went after the healthy to infect that population. So it was cool. It's a really fun movie. I think it's gonna be on DVD pretty soon, so you gotta check it out.
I definitely will.
Yeah, no, it was well worth seeing, and I know that they did it in a different way from, say, The Walking Dead, which follows more the Night of the Living Dead
very
type
George Romero,
look. Yeah,
yeah.
And so
now they bring up The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what do you think of that, because I think that show's brilliant.
I love it.
On every level.
I love
do you watch it?
No? I do. I fell in love with it.
Yeah. Just about every one of my makeup artist friends have been working on it for the last 3 seasons, and I hate them. And I've been talking to Greg Nicotero, who is he's one of the owners of K&B Effects. And he is he's a super rad guy. I've known him for a long time. He keeps saying he's going to hire me, and it hasn't happened yet, but, you know, hopefully soon. I'll have to do some appliances with my buddies over there.
I think we should do is go cover his car in blood.
I think he would like that.
He'll come out to his car and be like, oh my God, my car's a zombie. And then that would wake him up.
Big old zombie splats.
It's like, exactly. Right, like, yeah. Oh my God.
He would probably love that.
You know, like a dead body like in the front of his car, like he ran over it or something.
He would seal it, and then it would be like, that's it. It's like, I got my blood
splattered. But he would appreciate that. Like, if he found a dead zombie, like, underneath his tire, like that when he didn't see,
he'd probably come in the studio and be like, okay, who's screwing around, guy? Like, I gotta go, you know. Yeah. I gotta make a meeting.
Yeah. Now, did that show, like, I remember when they announced the show that they're gonna do the zombie show on AMC, and I was like, interesting, and I didn't know nothing about the comic books.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
But, okay, so all of a sudden though, like, the show comes on, and I'm seriously from day one was just like, wow, this is a really good twist on this.
It was good.
Now, because any good drama to me is about not just the characters, but it's the world that it's set in. And they did a good job with all of that. They had all the pieces of the puzzle that make a good drama.
Yeah, because Frank Darabont, he was over at House of Secrets in Burbank. And this, you know, it was a couple years ago.
Right.
And he had seen The Walking Dead comic and picked it up and brought it home.
Mm.
Thumbed through it, and then apparently that was the whole inspiration. He was like, we got to make this into a series, and then thus fast forward and got a hold of Robert Kirkman, and that was it. And now it's this really successful show. You know, and I like that it's kind of a, it's a weekly TV series of a continuing zombie movie that just keeps going. You know, and in the beginning, I think they're really trying to establish characters, so it got a little drawn out and a little boring. And
I just like the fact that anybody can die.
I mean, we know that
the lead guy, the sheriff, whatever his name, I'm going to forget his name, but we know he's not going anywhere
Rick
anytime
Grimes.
Soon.
Wait, in theory.
Anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fact that, like, last season they killed off his wife and, you know, like, that.
Spoiler alert, if anybody hasn't seen it.
And what's her name just died at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, yeah, season three. Oh, God, what the hell was her name? The blonde.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was unfortunate that, you know, it's like they're fishing around here, and I think they're trying to change up the game and just, yeah, let you know that, you know, no one's safe, really.
Yeah.
My whole thing was that they didn't get the governor.
Because I read that in the comic books they do.
Yeah. Well, I never read up to the governor.
Okay.
I read a good handful of them.
Can I tell you, that's what Wikipedia is so good for.
I know.
Like, I already know. I knew Game of Thrones. I knew that was going to happen because I read Wikipedia.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Wikipedia, though, I found is like anyone can add information to that. So I'm like, you can have an idiot that just starts adding stuff.
Yeah. But people do these summaries and I just read the summaries and then I just go, okay, cool. Yeah,
it's like Walking Dead for Dummies. And then some idiot just goes there and just completely like ass rapes the whole story for you. Exactly. And you're like, what? What happened? No, it's not true.
No, I came in late to the show because everybody was talking about it. And I typically sit late. I sat late on Mad Men. I sat late on Breaking Bad. I sat late on all these shows going, okay, fine, I'll watch another new show. It was on Netflix.
Yeah.
6 episodes or 8 episodes the first season. One night. I didn't watch it in the episode to episode, you know, like as you said, as a weekly thing. No. It was a 1 6-hour long, you know.
I've done that a lot.
You watched the whole movie.
Yeah, it was like, oh my God, I have to.
And I love watching shows that way nowadays.
And I introduced it to my girlfriend as well. As she was, totally. I was like, no, you have to watch this.
Yeah.
After first episode, hooked. More than most other shows.
Yeah.
And then it was, I have to watch it. And it's a great show.
And it got good. It started off really strong because it was like a movie. It was like a 90-minute, pilot, and then it dragged a little bit, and then it really started to establish everybody and the group, and the survival, and you know who's strong, who's weak, who's you know.
And then what bothered me was when they were on the farm. They were there for pretty much the whole season.
I agree.
There's all these little things going on, and I like that, but it was like.
It did drag.
I think in television we're used to like people moving and doing things, and it was like they've done a really good job of like you know whole season could be is basically about a week.
Yeah,
you know, like you know, almost.
Yeah, it's like a season.
Yeah,
like an entire you know season that they're at this farm, and then as it rolls into fall, is when the herd comes in and takes over. And what I love is that they finally explain that how the herd got to the farm was because of something that happened like last season.
Right.
They had been walking across town the whole time,
yeah.
And I definitely think the payoff in the end was definitely well worth it.
That was badass, yeah. I mean, that was cool.
So, Brian, I do have to say, we could talk about zombies all day long.
Okay.
Love zombies. But tell me more about how we can pick up Jeb, where we can find out more about you, and any other products that you have. Where can we find you?
You can find us at shrunkenheadstudios.com. All one word. We're on Facebook as well. If you just search that in there, you'll find us. Jeb, you can find on our website, shrunkenheadstudios.com, as well as Etsy.
I just think that's funny. You can find Jeb on our website. He'll be there. He'll greet you.
Yeah, he'll be there. He's available. We got the licensing to do the toys for the 1983 film or 82 film, Creepshow. We're releasing Father's Day. We ran into some hiccups with China and we're now getting that out. I think he's going to ship actually Father's Day 2014 finally.
Nice.
So fans will be stoked about that along with the other characters. We have another 1/6 scale horror accessory pack called Bits and Pieces, which is like a little assortment of rusty, bloody weapons and severed body parts for your 12-inch action figures, which is a lot of fun.
You have a whole world going on.
We have a whole horror world that we're doing.
Awesome. Well, I really, really appreciate you coming out and doing this. And like I said, we could talk all day about this. Thanks, everybody, for listening to More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX, also known as Mox. And you can also check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where you can see all sorts of cool BTS photos from sets. And every so often, I do post a photo that is something that I'm proud of. So I appreciate you all for listening. And thanks again, Brian. I will talk to you guys later.
Thank you.